we are holding on Lamed Aleph on the base by the two dots. About 12 lines from the top or so. Okay, we said in the Mishnah that most Sulei HaMukdashin, Hana Yosem LaHekdish, we said the benefit of them goes to Hekdish, which means we said that if you're able to sell them if they're able to fetch a higher price after you shech them, then while they're alive, which is when you're going to be paid to them from Hekdish, according to one opinion anyway, then they're going to fetch a higher price, because that's going to be baked into the price, is the fact that later on you're able to sell the meat at a higher price. Therefore, we allow you to treat it like ordinary meat as far as that goes. You can sell it in a butcher shop. You can weigh it as you would regular meat. Except for chutz min abchorim and amaiser, it can be said except for bechorim and maiser, shana yosam abaylim, because the benefit of them goes to the owner. In other words, when you have a bechor, balmum, and when you have maiser behemoth, that's a balmum, hektish doesn't get anything of them. You are taking the, your, what are you looking for?
Go ahead.
Saying when you have bechor meiser, hektish isn't getting anything out of it. When you have bechor balmum or you have meiser which is a balmum, you're not when you shecht it and you're selling it, hektish isn't getting anything out of it because it belongs to you. Well, in the case of Bukhar, it belongs to the Kohen, and the Kohen, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah and the Gemara about it, that he's allowed to resell it to the Fed. If it's regular Hekdesh, like Sulam HaKadosh, like a Shlomim, for example, it belongs to Hekdesh. So therefore, when you are being poded, you're being poded from Hekdesh. So therefore, the point is, in other words, Hekdesh can sell it to you for a higher price because factoring in the fact that you, when you have meat, once you shecht it, are going to be able to sell that meat for a higher price. Therefore, we allow you to sell it in a way that will fetch a higher price. Yeah, we're talking about animal. So they, as opposed to Bechor and Meister, where Hekdesh doesn't get involved. If they're a Tam, obviously, bringing them to the Korban when there's a Bechor and Hekdesh. But otherwise, when they're a Balmum, you're shechting them, and Hekdesh has nothing to do with it. So therefore, we don't allow you to treat it casually. Therefore, you have to treat it with respect. And therefore, as the Mishnah said, you can't sheft it in the butcher shops. You can't sell it in the butcher shops. You have to sell it privately in your house. And you can't weigh it out like you would regular meat.
And if it doesn't have a name, what happens?
Then you can't sheft it. You can't sheft it as long as it's time. You can't sheft it. When there's a bit of mikdash, then you bring it as a carbon, but when there's no bit of mikdash, you have to wait until it develops the moment. As long as it's a tam, you can't do anything with it. Okay. So now we're going to focus on, we're saying bechor and meister. So, bishlein bechor, the iflas would learn this dab, and haba basin is dab. Okay, so I can understand. The Mishnah is telling us a bechor, you're not allowed to sell it in the butcher shop, but you're allowed to sell it in, you're allowed to sell it in your house.
What's the question?
The question is going to be, elam meister. The question is, what are you telling me that Meiser Behema, when it develops a mum, you are able to sell it in your house? Fine. You're saying you can't sell it in a butcher shop, but you're allowed to sell it in your house. The question is, Ela Meiser Behema, Mimis Daven, are you Bechlau allowed to sell Meiser Behema even in your house? On the face of it, you're not allowed to sell it at all. Vahatanya, we learn in a Braisa. But Bechur Nemo Loistikya, by Bechur it says that a Bechur is Kodesh, and Loistikya, you're not allowed to redeem it. Implying that you yourself, the owner, cannot redeem it, but implying that you would be allowed to sell it to other people. In other words, the koyin gets the animal; he gets the bechor is one of the 24 matnas korona. So you give the koyin the bechor, and after that, it's his property, and he can sell it to whoever he wants. Because lois dipta implies that the owner himself can't buy it back from Hekdesh, but the nimkachai, the meiser nem, lo yigoil, on the other hand, by meiser behema, it uses a different expression, lo yigoil, it shall not be redeemed, and therefore that means, that's a different expression, it means ve'en nimka, lo chai, ve'lo shofet, lo tam, ve'lo balmum. It means you can't sell it whether it's alive or after it's shechted, whether it's a tam or whether it's a balmum. So what are you telling me in our Mishnah that you're able to sell, not bechor, meiser? What is our Mishnah telling us? That Bechor and Meiser are an exception. You're not allowed to sell them in a butcher shop. I'm fine, but you can sell them privately at home. Bechor, sure, but how are you allowed to sell Meiser at all? Our Braisa is saying that you can't.
Maybe it doesn't go by...
No. The answer is, Hom mil se ikshia lalu Reb Sheshis ba'urta. Reb Sheshis had a problem with it one evening. He realized this problem, and he was wondering about it. The next morning, early in the morning, he was able to answer it on the basis of a braisa. We'll quote the braisa soon, but before we quote the actual braisa, the answer, the upshot based on the braisa was, our Mishnah, when it implies that you're allowed to sell it in at home, is talking about specifically Maisa Behema of Yisoyman. Where Yisoyman, we always try to look out for their best interest. So therefore, we're going to be saying that this, that you're not allowed to sell it, is Dirabbanan. And therefore, so we're saying that when it comes to Yisoyman, we want to give them as much benefit as possible. So therefore, we make an exception and we leave it at the basic Din D'oraisa, which is that you're able to sell it. Not they have nothing, but they'd be getting less. Because again, because if you can't sell it at all, right. So before we get to the braisa, the Gemara tells us Rav Idi was the servant of Rav Sheshet. A couple of different translations of exactly what Sarse means. It means he was a servant. It means he's the one who, another explanation that some of the Rishonim bring is that he's the one who brewed beer for Rav Sheshet. Whatever it is, he worked for Rav Sheshet. But he himself was a Talmid Chacham. Shamamine, he heard this answer from Rav Sheshet on the basis of the braisa that we're going to quote soon. Also, Amra ben Medrasha, so he went and told this answer over in the Beit Medrash that our Mishnah is talking about Maisa Behema of Yisoyman, as opposed to the Braisa that says that you can't sell Maisa Behema. It's talking about when it doesn't belong to Yisoyman. And he went and told them in the Beit Medrash, but Amra Mishmeh, he did not say it over in the name of Rav Sheshet. Shomer Rav Sheshet Ikbad. So Rav Sheshet heard about it and was very upset. Omar, and he said, Manda Okit, the one who stung me, by not saying it over in my name, La'akseakrava, he deserves to be stung by a scorpion, which means, Rashi says, is an expression of putting him in chayrim, like we had in Pirkei Avos. So it's a metaphor. Some of them, of course, say it means literally, but Rashi over here says it means shamta, means chayrim. So the question is, but if Sheshet my nakalimine, why is Rav Sheshet so, what does he care? So it wasn't said over in his name, big deal. Now, Marsha points out, you have a similar story in Yevamos where Rabbi Lazar doesn't say something in Rabbi Yechanan's name, and Rabbi Yechanan doesn't accept until one of the other Chachamim, Rabbi Idi, I think, explains to Rabbi Yechanan that this is a special case because Rabbi Lazar learned everything he knows, almost everything he knows from you, so when he says something over, people assume it's from you. So now on the face of it, we can say, why is Rav Sheshet upset? Well, because he's saying, Kekri Abbas, Kala Ima Dover B'Shem Omri Mehdi Gula Loilam. But, okay, that question is, why is Rav Sheshet, the Gemara is asking, why is Rav Sheshet upset? Shouldn't we answer? Because what do you mean? He's not Mehdi Gula Loilam. The answer is, Marsha says, because then shouldn't be only Rav Sheshet is upset. Everybody should be upset at that. Everybody should be upset that the Gula is not being brought closer. The question is, why is Rav Sheshet particularly have a stake in the matter? Okay, in other words, if it's a matter of kol omer dover b'shem omer maybe go'ul olam, fine. You could say the other people are not masking on it because, in particular, when everybody knows that it comes from a certain person, then fine, you don't necessarily have to repeat it in his name. But Rav Sheshet has a particular reason to be upset. Why is that? The reason is, d'omer of Yehuda omer rav, my dichtiv agura b'olcha olamim, what does it mean? David says in Tehillim, let me live in your tent in worlds. What do you mean? He actually ought to model the Shnei Elamim. What does it mean? A person can't live in both worlds at once. You're in this world, or you're in Olam Haba, one or the other. Ella, Alma Dovin. What do you mean? Chassidus doesn't say that. We live in Olam Haba. Very nice. But we're talking about the human being lives in. Okay, very nice. But the human being lives in this world, and after 120, the Shema goes up to Gan Eden. So what? How is a person living in two worlds at the same time? David is asking that people should be saying over words of Torah in my name, and in this world, and what does that accomplish? Any Talmud Chacham where they say over a word of Torah in his name in this world, his lips move or rustle in the grave. So in other words, Rashi says he has hannah that he still feels like he's alive.
Yeah.
That he still feels like he's alive. Shittim Kubetis brings a different explanation, actually, that dovavos that means something like dribbling. So it means like so to speak. He says he brings from a Menachem Chassid, who's in Pirushe Eretz Yavan, Pirushim from some Chacham in Greece. That it means that dovavos is like when a person is sleeping, sometimes and they're drooling. So here, in other words, when they say over Torah in the name of a Talmid Chacham, and after he passed away, it's like his lips are drooling in the grave, like a person when he's sleeping. So in other words, he's not really dead. So that's what David means, that therefore I'll be able to live in both worlds at the same time, an Olam Hazeh and an Olam Haba. That's the point. That's why we need the Drasha, because without that we wouldn't understand what does it mean to live in two worlds at the same time. Maybe. Okay. But Amr of Yitzchak Bar Ziri, my Kra, where's a pasuk that expresses that idea? Pasuk in Shirashirim, the chikech kiyayin atariv, your palate, meaning the words that a person pronounces with the palate of their mouth, is one of the hemet, sorry, tatef. Kiyayin atariv is like the good wine, hoylech l'doidi l'meshorim, which goes to my beloved, which goes straight to my beloved. David 50 Yeshayim. Here's the part we're focusing on. It causes the lips of the ones who are sleeping to rustle or to drool. Meaning the comparison to wine is a commercial anovin. Like when you have a pile of grapes, which you put them, Rashi describes, you put them in a keli, and you leave them there, for a week or so in order that they press against each other and they fully ripen. In that way, when you press them to get wine out of them, you'll get as much wine as possible, so they soften up as they're sitting there together. So ma komershal anovim kiven de adam negev by doiv, just like with this komershal anovim, the person just touches it, it rustles, and then juice starts coming out of it. Rabbi Nagershon says another explanation that it means like the shmarim, the dregs over there make a noise, or they make like a rustling noise. So the same thing, when someone says over a word of Torah in their name, then his lips move or drool in the grave. So that's Rav Sheshet is upset that Rav Idi said over this avot without saying that it's in his name, because then he's not going to have that advantage of this place of Dover Vesvakeva.
One second.
You're supposed to say something in the name of someone you're learning from. Now, you do have the exception that it says in Yevamos, that if you have, like, Rabbi Lazar, who almost everything he knew in Torah came from Rabbi Yochanan, then you don't necessarily have to mention it, because automatically when Rabbi Lazar says something, unless otherwise specified, it comes from Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. Rav Sheshes, apparently Rav Idi over here thought the same thing, that whatever he says people will know comes from Rav Sheshes. Nevertheless, though, Rav Sheshes is upset about it for one thing. Some of the Mephoshim explain, because if it's not said over in Rav Sheshes' name, yes, people may realize that it comes from Rav Sheshes, but they may not. They may think it's not something so reliable, and therefore they're not going to continue saying it over. In other words, the point is not so much that it doesn't have Rav Sheshes' name attached. The point is that without the name of someone like Rav Sheshes attached to it, people are going to think it's not really worth saying. It's not really a very good answer, and they're not going to say it over, and eventually it's going to be forgotten.
He doesn't want
this particular part of Torah, which he came up with based on the Braisa, to be forgotten and to not be said over, that people are going to think it's not reliable and it doesn't need to be said. Some of them, Mephoshim also point out, we find Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Sheshes, the two Chachamim who are marked on this, Rabbi Yochanan in Yevamos, Rav Sheshes over here, both of them were childless. So there's an additional thing also, which is that, like this, usually a person has, okay, they have a mamala makam, eventually they pass away, but they have children who succeed them. Right? Tamidim, fine, nevertheless, the fact is, Rav Sheshes didn't have any children of his own, and neither did Rav Yechanan, and therefore they took it more personally, the fact that it's not going to be said over in their name, that they're not going to have anybody saying it over, and saying things over in their name.
I mean, children doesn't guarantee.
Okay, but at least it makes a possibility of it. Like this, okay. Anyway, so that's the vote. Okay. Next, my bride.
They were both married.
Yeah, they were married, sure. But Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara tells us in Brachas had 10 children, but they all died during his lifetime. And Rav Sheshes, the Gemara mentions, I believe even later in Anasef, actually, that...
Did you meet children himself?
Apparently not. And Rav Sheshes, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, and I think it's also later in Anasef, that he developed a condition where he wasn't able to have children. Okay, anyway, so that's how it is. By the way, I mean, they point out something else. Sometimes you have, we know there are a lot of Sforim that are written anonymously. Sefer HaChinuch is one of them. You have a number of, a lot of Sfarim that are written anonymously. So how does that fit with this? What happened to the place of Joseph HaKeber? So one interesting answer is, because after all, well, the question is, in other words, you're not saying it over in their name. When you say something over from the Chinuch, for example, you don't know the name of the Rav who wrote it. So how does he have this advantage just as close to the Dover Vespa Kever? So they give an interesting answer, because Hashem knows who wrote it. So Hashem can arrange that that his neshama, that the benefit of it will go to his neshama. So we may not know who the actual author is, but Hashem knows. So that's good enough. Right. Okay. Fine. My Braisa, what is this Braisa that Sheish has found that answers the question? Again, we were asking that an on Mishnah implies that you're allowed to sell Maisa Behema once it has a Mum at least. That you're allowed to sell the meat of it in your house, just not in the butcher shop. But the Braisa said you're not allowed to sell it at all. So what's the Braisa that Rav Sheshes used as the basis for his answer? Titania, because we learn in a Braisa, Maisa Behema shall Yisoymim, Mochunai. Say Maisa Behema that belongs to Yisoymim, you're allowed to sell it. Or Maisa Behema shall Shachtai, and also, then, well, on the face of it, it's another din. We're going to discuss soon whether it's two different dinim or whether it's one din. Maisa Behema shall Shachtai, if you shecht Maisa Behema, you can't sell the meat directly, but mavriyoi, you can include the value, you can include the price of the meat, ba'oroi with skin, b'chelboi with chelev, or b'gidoi with gidanasha, or b'karnov, or its horn. So on the face of it, in other words, what the Braisa is saying, it sounds like it's saying two different dinim. Number one, Maisa Behema of the Sermon, you're allowed to sell it. And Maisa Behema, in general, when you sell it, you're not allowed to sell the meat directly, but for example, you can have, let's say you sell it to somebody the skin. I'm selling you the skin and I'm throwing in the meat for free. And really what you do is you're charging extra for the skin in order that the meat will be included. You figure, let's say, a piece of meat that you want to sell to somebody from this bechor is worth, let's say, $10. Meanwhile, the skin, if you were just selling it by itself, would be worth that, a particular piece of skin from that would be worth $1. So instead, what you do is you sell them the skin for $11, and that way you're including the $10 for the meat. So you're not actually charging them for the meat outright, but yeah. So the question is, well, so my comma. So the question is, what is the Braisa saying? First, the Braisa is saying that you're allowed to sell it from Yisraelim and fine normally, and then it's saying Mavliya. So what are the cases over here? Mavliya means to include it, yeah. Omer Abaya Hachi comma. So Abaya says, okay, here's what the Braisa means. Maitse Behema Shal Yisraelim Mochrin Ose Bahavla. Only is the Braisa, according to Abaya, is not telling us two different cases, it's telling us one case. If you have Maisa Sheni, not Maisa Sheni, Maisa Behema of Yisoymim, the only way you can sell the meat is Bahavla, by including the price of the meat in the price of something else, such as the skin or the chaylev or what have you. What? And the meat is a Matana, is included, right? Yeah. Well, in other words, that's what you're doing. You're overcharging for the skin, and thus you're including the price. No, but that's the point. In other words, you're not telling them I'm charging you X amount for the meat and X amount for the skin. You're telling them I'm charging you X amount for the skin. Oh, fine, it amounts to it. So the question is, Mikhail de Godo Bahavla. That's fine. So it does not Matana then. But you're telling him I'm giving it the Matana. But really what you're doing is Mavliya. You're charging extra for the skin. The problem with that is, Mikhail de Godo Bahavla. So the implication is that if you have Maisa Behema of an adult, not a yosim, then you can't even do that. There's no way to sell the meat, not even Bavla. The problem with that is, Maishnam Nehodetanya, or Tznan really, it's a Mishnah in Sukkah. Why is it different than a case that we learn about in the Sechta Sukkah? Halakeach lulav mechaveri b'shvias, if a person is buying a lulav from somebody else, and the somebody else is an Amaret, during Shemitah, now the problem with it is that, the problem with it is that, The Gemara explains over there, the lulav, it does have kedushas shvius. So you have four meaning. Right now we're focusing on the lulav and the esrog. The Gemara explains over there, the esrog obviously is going to have kedushas shvius if it grew during shmita because it's a fruit. The lulav, the Gemara explains over there, also has kedushas shvius on the grounds that in those days the lulav were commonly used as brooms, and a broom is similar to fruit in that you use it up as you're getting the hanah from it as you use it up, as opposed to the Gemara explains over there, let's say regular firewood doesn't have dinim of shnitta because first you burn it, and then after it's burned, then you use the coals of it to cook food. So therefore, a lulav does have kedushas shvius, But so the Mishnah says, "Alakeach wolam chaver b'shvius, noisin lay esrog matana." The other guy has to be giving you the esrog as a present. Lefisha einar ashoy leloitzchay b'shvius, because you're not allowed to buy it during Shemitah. Now, why are you not allowed to buy it? So Rabbi Negoshin says, because you're not allowed to sell Shemitah food. Rashi learns differently, though, because the fact of the matter is, you are allowed to sell Shemitah food in small quantities. You're just not allowed to make a business of it. So what does it mean? Rashi explains that it means we're talking about over here. The problem is that you're buying it from an Amoret, and the din is, if you sell or you trade Peiros of Shavuot, the original Peiros still have Kedushas Shavuot, and the money or whatever it is that you traded them for also have Kedushas Shavuot. The problem is, this guy being an Amoret, you can't necessarily trust him that he's going to follow the dinim to know what to do, to do beer of it, and to use it for Kedushas Shavuot, to only use this money to buy things that not necessarily he's going to make a business, but he's not going to know that he can only use it to buy food, for example. He's not going to know that he has to get rid of that money when the time of beer comes for Esrogim, when there's no more Esrogim out in the field. We learned before, you have the concept of beer. Once there comes, for every kind of produce, there comes a certain point when there's no more of it available in the field. Today's Chumash. When there's available for the highest in the field, a certain kind of produce, then you're allowed to have that produce in your house, and eat it with Kedushas Shavuot. Once there comes a point that there are no more of them available out in the wild for the wild animals to eat, then you have to get rid of it from your house. The Rambam learns that you have to actually destroy it. Most other Rishonim learn that you just have to declare a hefker and then you can take it back. Whatever it is, the point is an Amoret is not going to be familiar with all those dinim and is not going to be careful with those dinim. Therefore, Rashi says you're not allowed to give him money for Peiros Shavuot. So therefore, what do? So Noisim like Esrog Matana. So the other guy has to give him the Esrog as a present. Because you're not allowed to buy it during Shemitah. And Bahavinan Ba, and the Gemara asks over there in Shabbat, in Sukkah, Loyros a litan lev matana mai. So what do we
mean to pay for it?
Halakeach lulav mechaber b'shvius. He's buying a lulav from somebody else in Shemitah. Nois mele esri matana. Bahavinan ba. So we asked about that. Loyros a litan lev matana mai. What if the other guy doesn't want to give you the esri as a present? What do you do then? For Amar Rav Huna, mavliya loyd me esri b'lulav. So Rav Huna says, no problem. What you do is he can include the price of the esri in the lulav. And by the way, the implication is that esrogim in those days were fairly cheap. We're actually going to learn. I mean, nowadays it's the opposite, of course. But in those times, esrogim were fairly cheap. We're going to learn about that in Ila, have an example of that, about buying esrog for a protah, for example. The pashtos, because they have large orchards, and people grew them commonly. Nowadays, people only grow them for the mitzvah. In those times, people grew them to eat also. Okay, whatever it is. So you're allowed to be mavliya. You're allowed to be mavliya dmei esrog b'lulav. The Gemara explains over there, by the way, the idea is the lulav that you're buying Sukkot time, which is 2 weeks into Shemitah, grew mostly during the sixth year. Therefore, it doesn't have Kedushas Shavuot. Therefore, you're allowed to buy it outright. The esrog, on the other hand, an esrog is unique among all fruits, that you go according to lakita, you go according to when it's picked. And the esrog, most likely, is picked during the 2 weeks between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. So therefore, the esrog, even if most of it grew in the sixth year, well, most of the time. Nowadays, we get them imported from Italy. So yeah, they have to pick them during the summer, otherwise they don't get them here in time. But in those times, again, when you had everybody living in Eretz Yisrael, and you have esrogim plantations all over the place, so you the pastures, you pick the esrogim as close as possible. Okay, because they sell them in large quantities. Here you're talking about whatever. The point is, if it's picked during the time between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, then it has Kedushas Shavuot. So the question is again, over there you're allowed to do this havla, you're allowed to have him include the price of the esrog in the lulav, and that's okay. Why over here would the Braisa be saying that you're not allowed to do that by Mechor? The answer is, the Gemara says, Hosam le'mukha milsa. The answer is there, it's not so obvious. Because Rashi says, an esrog doesn't really cost that much, so therefore it doesn't really add that much to the price. Whereas over here, it becomes fairly obvious because the meat is worth a lot more than the skin. So then you're going to be, in our scenario before, you're going to be charging $11 for a skin that usually would only get $1. It becomes very obvious that you're charging $10 extra for the meat. As opposed to over there, you would normally be charging, let's say, $5 for a lulav. And like this, you're charging $6 because you're throwing in the esrog as well. So it's not so obvious. Right. Okay. The point is, you get the idea. Yeah. Well, nowadays, that's a few hundred. We're not talking about the whole or the whole mice. We're talking about piece of it. Let's say piece by piece, whatever. Okay. Rabbeinu Gershon has a different explanation. He says the idea is that over there it's not much from milta, because after all, the lulav and the esrog are two different plants. They come from two different things. Whereas over here, the skin and the meat all come from the same mice. Okay. Fine. So that's all Abaya's explanation of the Braisa is telling us, when it comes to Maisa Behema of a Godol, there's no heter at all just to sell the meat. When it comes to the assignment, we allow you to do it Bahwa. We make an exception. However, Omar Rabba, in pain, Maisa Behema, Shrey Zimni Lomali. However, Rabba says, if that's the explanation of the Braisa, then why does it repeat the word Maisa Behema? What does the Braisa say? Maisa Behema Shrey Yisimim Mokrimoso, or Maisa Behema Shrey Shokdom of Liba Oro, etc. So why would it repeat Maisa Behema again? Ella Omar Rava Hafi Kama. So no, Rava says what it means, what the Braisa means is as follows. It is actually two different gimmicks. Maisa Behema Shrey Yisimim in Mokrimoso Kedarsi. Maisa Behema Shrey Yisimim, you can sell regularly. You don't know Havwa, no nothing. You can sell the meat outright. You can't sell it in a butcher shop, as our Mishnah said, but you could sell it in your house, selling the actual meat itself without having to do Havwa. Or Maisa Behema, the Godol, however, Maisa Behema of a... Maisa Behema of a Godol, Sheshachtoi, when he checked it, when it has a mum, Mavliya Ba'ore Bechel Ba'Begidur Bechano, then you have to be Mavliya. Omar Rava Menam in Allah. So Rava says, where do I get this idea that the Braisa is telling us two different dinim, and that you're able to, that even with a Godol, there is a way to sell it Bahavla, and that with Yisomim, we don't even require that, we allow you to sell it straight out. So just give, because you have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says about Maisa Behema, V'hoyohu t'murasi yakodesh lo yigol. The Pasuk says about Maisa Behema, that it and its exchange, If you make a tmura of Maisa Behema, which you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to make a tmura of any animal, next week's parasha, but if you do, v'hayahu tmurasi yekodesh, lo yigoil, and it cannot be redeemed. So what do we mean? Emesai osa tmura. Now when does there exist the concept of tmura? Mechayim, only when the animal is alive. Therefore, when it says lo yigoil, it would mean also emesai enin nigo. When would we be saying that you're not allowed to sell it? We said before, lo yigoil means you're not allowed to sell it. Would also be mechayim, would also be only while the animal is alive. Hala acha shchita nigel, implying once it was shechted, you are allowed to sell it. Berabbanan who degas yula acha shchita otu lifnei shchita. So therefore, and berabbanan made a gzera that you can't sell it in the normal way, even after you shechted it, because it might be confused with the case of before of selling it while it's alive, which then you'd be over on this eser daraisa. So therefore, dovra hanishu mechayim gozer abanan lifnei shchita otu acha shchita otu lifnei shchita. So therefore, only when it comes to something where you evaluate it, where you evaluate it while it's alive, the meat. Because we're mainly, what do you sell an animal for? You sell an animal for its meat. So therefore, so on that, the Rabbanan made a gozer Rabbanan la'acha shchita otu lifnei shchita. So then the Chacham made a gzera that don't sell the meat directly after the shchita, because you might mistakenly sell it before shchita, and that would be awesome. You what? Okay. Dover she'ena nisha mechayim. On the other hand, things that are not usually evaluated for their value while the animal is alive. Nobody usually pays extra money for an animal, let's say, because of the skin or because of the bones or whatever. Mainly when you're selling a live animal, which is going to be shechted, mainly you're selling it for the value of the meat. Therefore, like gozer rabbanon, therefore the rabbanon didn't make a gzera on that in the first place. That is why, even when it belongs to a gadol, you're allowed to sell it b'havla, because there you're not even being oiran and issur de rabbanon. Well, we asked me, ask more rabbanon, adar isa. Now, when it comes to yisoimim, then the chachamim said, let's forget about, we're not making a gzera for it to impinge on yisoimim. We're going to allow you to sell it normally. We're going to allow you to sell the meat even normally, because the whole concept that you can't sell the meat after it's shechted is only a gzera, and we're not going to impose that on yisoimim. The gzera was made. By yisoimim, we're not going to make that gzera. That's Rava's explanation of the braisa, therefore, that it's talking two different cases. By yisoimim, you can sell it straight out. By adult, you can sell it by law. Not like a buyer who learned that it means that by yisoimim you can only sell it by law, and by regular adults you can't sell it at all. No, Rava says that's not what the braisa means.
Rava says the braisa says that by the adults you can
sell it by spell Babylon, meaning that you include that you charge for the skin, let's say, and then you throw in the meat with it. You overcharge a little bit for the skin and include the meat.
And by the same,
you don't even need to do that. You can sell the meat outright. Yeah. Okay. And the Gemara continues. But after Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Sovel Ola HaDeRava. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok also agrees with this din of Ravas, with this statement of Ravas, that this concept that you can't sell mice to behema after it's shechted is only drabanan and midaraita, it would be mutter. Incidentally, by the way, you have a machloikas rishonim, whether are we talking about only when it's a balmum, are we talking about maybe even when it's a tam, and then it's gore of the korban, and you have the meat afterwards, and you're allowed, okay, that's a separate matter, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Well, for what?
That would only be by a
goat. No, so what we're saying, Dogashain and Nisha and means we're talking about the meat, which even while the animal is alive, you usually figure out, okay, how much is the meat on this animal worth? Let's sell it for that price. As opposed to nobody usually start thinking, how much are the bones of this animal worth? Let's figure the price based on that.
This is a hint to the words of Allah.
So this gives us the concept of Allah, right? Because Rava is saying, since the Pasuk says that you can't make that if you make a Tmura lo yigoil, so the implication is, when does this din of lo yigoil apply? Daraisa, only at the same time that Tmura would apply Daraisa. Tmura only applies when the animal's alive. Once it's shechted, then there's no such thing as making a Tmura with it. Therefore, the whole concept of not selling it also only applies when it's alive.
Because it's a hekesh, basically.
Yes, basically, it would be a hekesh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says, Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok Sovel Ola HaDeRava. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok also agrees with this statement of Rava's, that midaraita you would be allowed to sell the meat of the mice to behema after it's shechted, and it's only midrabanan that you usually can't. We know that. How do we know that mice behema of yisoyim you're able to sell it normally, meaning that you're not normally as again in the butcher shops, but normally as you can sell the meat outright. You don't have to be mavliya. Shenema, because the pasuk says you have a pasuk that in general refers to psulei amukdashin. Rach b'chol avas napshachot tizbach ve'achal tibos. So, however, with all of the desire of your heart, you can shecht and you can eat meat, which are the pasuk that we use in many places in Shas, including we've had it already a number of times in Seder Kodshim. That it refers to psulei amukdashin, that you're allowed to shecht them and you're allowed to eat them. Whether tizbach means that you're only allowed to shech them, but you're not allowed to shear them, but you're not allowed to drink the milk, etc. But the pasuk continues to birkas Hashem alekecha. The pasuk continues, you can shech them, you can eat it like the bracha of Hashem, the bracha that Hashem gave you. Which means, what do we learn from those words? Ezer davar she'en bei bracha mechayim ela la'achas shechita. What kind of kodshim do you have? There's no bracha, there's no possible hana in them when they're alive, only after they're shechted. Now, it can't refer to regular psulei amukdashin, because regular psulei amukdashin, you have an animal that you were going to bring as an olor or a shlamim or what have you, it develops a mum, you sell it to somebody else, or you yourself buy it back from hechdish or whatever, and then you can while the animal's alive, you can sell it to whoever you want. As opposed to Maisa Behemoth, we said, well, you go, so you're not allowed to sell it. So when do you have that you don't have a bracha when it's alive, only La'acha Shvita, then you're allowed to have anah? Heviyem is a Maisa Behemoth. That must be Maisa Behemoth. Because again, lo you go. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling us that after Zvicha, after Tizbach Ve'achal Tabasar, then you're able to have Kibir Kasashem Alekhecha. Implying that midaraisa, you're allowed to sell the meat of it after it's shechted. And it's only midrabanan that we make a rule that not, because you might accidentally then sell it while it's still alive. So we see that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok agrees with Rava's concept that this whole thing of selling the meat after it's shechted is only midrabanan, and therefore for Yisoyimim, midrabanan can be made for altogether.
And it's because the midrabanan says that you're going to sell it directly.
That you might sell it while it's alive,
while it's
which
alive.
Which would be over on the issue of lo yigoil. Right. So by Yisoyimim, they didn't make that rule. So now we have a question. We mentioned that you're able to be mavliya the meat. We mentioned that you're able to be mavliya in this with the skin. The Braise had mentioned the skin, the chelev, the gidanosha, the horns. What about are you able to be mavliya in the bones? Would we say the same thing? You could be selling the bones to. You could be according to Rava that we're saying even by a gadol you're able to be mavliya. So you're allowed to sell the bones to somebody and say I'm going to throw, and what you're actually doing is charging a little extra for the bones and throwing in the meat with them. So Rav Chiya, but the Braisa had only mentioned other things. The Braisa had mentioned Orei Chelba Gidei and Karnov. So does it work by a summit as well? Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon Bar Devi have two statements about it. chad omer mavliyo v'chad omer ein mavliyo. One says you could be mavliyo. The other one says you cannot. However, the Gemara says v'loy pligi. It's not actually a machloikas. Ha bedaka, because one is talking about a small animal, a sheep or a goat. You can't really make anything useful out of the bones of it. They're not large and strong enough. Therefore, you can't be mavliya, because then it really looks like harama. Then you're really selling it. Then you're really being mavliya in something that by itself would never be saleable. You couldn't. Yeah, it's too transparent. As opposed to a behemagasa, a large animal, yeah, you can very well use the you can use the bones of it are strong enough to be used. Rashi describes, for example, for handles of axes and things like that. So you can actually make something useful out of them. So therefore you're allowed to. The body same, or another possibility, Ivy va Ivy begasa. Maybe both Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Devi are talking about a behemagasa. But there's still no argument. Marki Asri. Each one was going according to how things are done in their area. In Reb Chiya, in one of their areas, we said Chadoma b'Chadoma, so the Gemara didn't clarify which one said which. But in the place of the one who said Mavliyoi, they commonly used bones of behemoth gases for tools or for handles or things like that. Therefore, you're allowed to be Mavliya, because it's just like anything else. It has a market value.
Of
behemoth gasa, we're saying. Yeah. They use bones of behemoth gasa, which are strong enough,
right.
Which are strong enough to be used for axe handles or whatever. Okay, we said two explanations. One explanation is that one is talking about a gasa, the other is talking about a gasa. The other explanation is even within a gasa itself, there are places where they use bones of behemoth gasa for such things, and there are places where they don't. Nowadays, for example, people don't use bones of behemoth gasa for anything. So nowadays, you wouldn't be able to even have but they ask on this because the bones themselves don't really have a market value. Almost maybe they do, I don't know.
Okay.
Nobody uses them for tools or whatever, maybe they use them for other things, I don't know. Okay. Whatever.
You said one.
What?
What did you say about market estimates in a place where they do use bones?
In a place where they use bones, then you're allowed to be mavliya. They have a market value.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Nowadays if you had bones of cattle for sale, would anybody buy them? I have no idea. I don't know. Okay. So therefore, so that's what it is. Interesting, the Rambam paskins that mavliyoi, but only if the bones are worth more than the meat. So the Mepharshim asked, where's the Rambam getting that from? And one well, it can happen. Let's say that it can happen that I don't think he says actually it's worth more than the meat. He just says imhoyud may have some as yikarim. If the market value of the bones is a lot. So one explanation is he's going based on obviously it has to be based on the Gemara here somehow. But one explanation is because we're saying over here that by a behemoth gasa, you may or may not have. People may or may not use the bones of them for purposes. So therefore, either they will be worth a substantial amount of money or they won't. And apparently the Rambam learns, therefore, that if they're not worth a substantial amount of money, then you can't. I'm looking at Rambam to see if I can find it quickly. Yeah, he says, v'imahoyud may have some as yikorim, if the value of the bones is a lot. So yeah, yikorim doesn't necessarily mean more than the meat, necessarily, but if they're worth a lot, the v'yid may have bought it, may have some as much. Okay. Gufa. Okay, getting back to, we brought a braisa before that said, b'chor hu oimel lo yifodeh, we said by b'chor, the lo yifodeh actually is the expression, by b'chor it says you're not allowed to be poideh, and therefore, now being poideh and being goyel are two different expressions, therefore the implication is v'nimker, so you are allowed to sell a b'chor, you're not allowed, you can't buy it back from Hekdesh and take off the kusha of it, but you are allowed to, once you gave it to the kohen is allowed to turn around and sell it to somebody else. But Meister Nemo Lo Yigoyal. On the other hand, by Meister it says Lo Yigoyal, and therefore that means Vayna Nimka Lo Shchayv Lo Shochet Lo Tam Lo Balmum. And therefore we're saying you can't sell it whether it's alive or shechted, Tam or Balmum.
At all.
So before we had the last piece we had over here was that Rava and Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak are saying that the part about selling it after it's shechted is only the Rabbanim. But this Braisa that we started quoting before takes the view which apparently Abaya had followed that view as well, that it is actually Daraisa. So Minahaninili. So where do we know that from? Amar of Chinan Amar Rab, Chen Amar of Dimi Amar of Yechanan. Like this. How do we? And the question is, how do we know that Lo Yigoyal means that you can't sell it at all. Tam balmum, live, shechted. Nema lo yigoyal b'maisev, nema lo yigoyal b'charami. It says, you have the same expression, lo yigoyal, it says by maisev behema. It also says it by charami. haramim, we're going to learn in the Sefer Erchin in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, that you have is the Torah tells us you're able to declare something chere. I mean, you actually have two different kinds. You have cherme gavoya, which is that belongs to Hekdesh, basically. And you have cherme koyanim, which is that it has to be given to the koyanim. And then once they receive it, it's cholin. You have a machlokas there in the Gemara and various other places in Shas when a person just says chedim stam, does it mean chermi gavoya or chermi kainim, whatever, we'll learn about it in a couple of months' time at the end of it. So you have the same expression lo yigoyel by both them. So therefore malahalan mechira imay, just like with chedim, the pasuk says lo yimacher v'lo yigoyel. It has both expressions. You're not allowed to sell it and you're not allowed to be goyel. So we see, in other words, that there, so their goyel is accompanied by the word mechira. It means you're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to be goyel.
What does it say, goyel and sell?
That's the point. Is the word lo yimacher clarifies for us that lo yigoyel means you're not allowed to sell it at all. Lo yimacher might mean you're not allowed to sell it under certain conditions. Lo yigoyel means you can't sell it at all. Afkan mechira imay. Therefore, we learn that the word lo yigoyel, when it comes to meister, also means that you can't sell it at all. It says if it's said by meister, also lo yimacher v'lo yigoyel. Not hackish. Shava more would be. Almalei of Nachman Breider of Yitzchok or of Huna Breider of Yeshua. Masmi. If you're going to be learning it from a Gzeira Shava like that, it has to be that these words in the pasuk, the words Lo Yigoyel, are extra. That you don't need them for the simple meaning of the pasuk. The Eloi Masmi, because if they're not extra, if you needed them for the simple meaning of the pasuk, or if you needed them for some other drasha, Ikal Mifrach, then this wouldn't be a good Gzeira Shava because you could slug it up. You have a concept, the Gemara mentions in a number of places in Shas, that if a Gzeira Shava is Mufna Mishnei Tzadim, if both sides, the word is available for, it's not being used for the simple meaning of the pasuk or for a drasha or whatever, then the Gzeira Shava is unassailable. There's no questioning it. If it's not Mufna from either, if it's Mufna from only one side, you have Machlokas, whether Lamedin or Meshivin or not, can you learn the Kabbal Chomer out of an Gzeira Shava that you could still slug it up or not? And if it's not Mufna from either side, then according to one of then Lamedin or Meshivin. So here, Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman Yitzchok is pointing out, given that we have a way of slugging up this Gzeira Shava, logically, by showing that they're not similar, then the only way to make this Gzeira Shava work is if it was Mufna. To Eloi Machni, because if you were going to say that it's not Mufna, that on both sides the word Lo Yigoyel are needed for some other drasha, or for the simple meaning of the topic, Mufna means available. Mufna literally means punri, like empty. There's no other need for it in the topic except for the Gzeira Shava. Because otherwise, Ikala Mithra, because otherwise you could slug up the Gzeira Shava and say Malach HaRomim Shekin Cholon Alako. Because you could say a Cherem is a special case. Why would the Torah be more machmir by cherem and say lo yimacher and lo yigoyel? Because cherem can be chal on everything. What do you mean on everything? So Rashi has two explanations. Number one, a cherem is able to be chal even on kodshim. A person has, let's say, a bechor or a shlomim or what have you, and then he declares this is cherem l'koyanim. The din is that now it belongs to the koyanim, and we'll learn an erchin. You give the koyan to fitovas hanashaboy. So in other words, you're able to have, in that sense, the kedusha of cherem is able to be chal on top of the kedusha of some other korban that you already designated this animal as, or even that it was born as, in the case of a bechor, as opposed to ma'isa behema. You only bring your animals of kolin into the pen and count them for ma'isa behema in the first place. You don't bring in your animals that were already designated as kodshim. So that's in one sense, cherem has more broader applicability than meister. And number two, Rashi says, another thing is that cherem, you could make your entire herd of animals cherem if you wanted. Meister behemoth is only every tenth one.
What did you get if you make it cherem?
It means basically that, well, if you make a bechor cherem, okay, the bechor belongs to the cherem anyway, fine. But basically what it means is the cherem have more of an ownership of it. Okay, in the case of bechor, you're right. Maybe it doesn't make a difference unless the person who made it cherem himself is a cherem. I don't know. When we learn about it next, then we'll learn about that. That's a shame. But with other korbanos, it's easier to understand. It means basically that the korban now belongs to the cherem. As opposed to bechor, I mean, anyway, eventually you have to give it to the kohen. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so you could argue that cherem has much broader applicability. It applies even to other kodshim. It applies to the whole herd, not just every tenth one. Another explanation that Ashash points out also is that cherem can apply to anything. You can declare anything cherem. You can declare a field cherem. You can declare an eved cherem. Cherem means basically, literally cherem means band. It means it's banned for any other use other than the appropriate purpose. So either cherme gavoya means that it has to be given to hektish, and again, once given to hektish, it can be bought back from them, like any other hektish. Or in the case of cherme koyanim, it has to be given to the koyanim. There's no redeeming it. There's no nothing until once the koyanim have it, then it's cholin and they can do with it whatever they want. The point being, in other words, again, so you can make your field cherem, that's actually the case that it talks about in Parshas Bukol Kosai, a person can make it as a knani cherem, as opposed to ma'aseh behem, only applies to animals. Anyway, so you could argue, therefore, that that would be reason to slug up because they had a shabbat. So the Gemara says, loyi, indeed, asmu yimasi. Yes, indeed, the word loyi goyal is extra in the pasuk, and therefore we have it available for this zera shabbat. Because, loy yoyma v'loy goyal b'charomim, because after all, when you consider it, by shayim, it didn't have to say the word loyi goyal. It could have said just loyi mocher, the yigma mimaiser, and we would learn it from Meiser, we would say not by Xeda Shava, but rather by Mamatinu, by Binyanab, Ma Meiser Kodesh Ve'ena Nigel, just like Meiser Behema is Kodesh and you can't redeem it, you can't buy it. Af Charamim Kodesh Ve'ena Nigolim, you could argue the same thing is true as far as Charamim, that they have Kedusha and you can't be goyal them. Therefore, v'lo yigoyal jikosa rachman olamali. So why does the pasuk say v'lo yigoyal by chayim? Must be last nuyi, must be, to have it extra, to be used for this gzeira shava. The problem with it is still ikala mitrach. You could still shlug up the kavachomer. You could still shlug up that. We're saying you could have learned from a binyan av, but a binyan av can also be shlugged up if you find something that the one that you're trying to learn from has a greater chomer. So you could argue, you're saying you could have learned cherem from Meiser on the grounds that Meiser is kodesh and so is cherem, and therefore if Meiser is lo yigoyal, then cherem is also. But on the other hand, you could argue back that Meiser has something special. Mala Meiser sheken kodesh lefana v'lachav. Meiser, behema, as we're going to learn at the end of our Masechta, you can have the one before the 10th one and the one after the 10th one are able to become Kodesh also. We have the case at the end of the Masechta when he mistakenly called the 9th one number 10, or he called the 11th one number 10, where you have cases where the ninth and the 10th and the 11th all have Kedusha. That's a unique din. You have by Ma'aseh Behema. You don't have it by Chayrim or anything else. If I say I want this Behema to be Chayrim and I meant this Behema, nothing happens. But if I say this one is a tenth and this one was a tenth, then a crown. So you can't learn such a binyanab either. So maybe therefore you need the lawyer goel by Chayrim.
Otherwise, you could say both of them,
because otherwise you could argue. In other words, Ma'aseh Behema has the specialty of the 9th and the 11th. Therefore, by it, the Torah says lo yigoyal. Not necessarily would that apply to Chayim. Therefore, the Torah has to spell out lo yigoyal by Chayim. So it's not mufna anymore, because now we need it in context, because otherwise we're not going to know that din by Chayim. And then how are we turning around and using the lo yigoyal to the lo yimacher, the lo yigoyal, to explain that lo yigoyal means don't sell it at all. Because you're using it to explain that you can't, that otherwise you wouldn't know that the din of lo yigoyal applies to cherem. So let's try the argument differently. Lo yoyim lo yigoyal b'charomim. Fine, let's try like this. It shouldn't have had to say lo yigoyal by cherem. V'yigma b'bechur. And we would argue that you could have learned it by a mamatzino from bechur. Again, ma b'chur kodesh v'ein nigol, af charamim kodesh v'ein nigol. And you could say the same thing could apply to b'chur. By b'chur, you can't slug it up, because by b'chur there's no such thing as the one before it or after it being kodesh. So therefore, we could have learned it by binyan av from b'chur. Lo yigol de kosa rachman olamali. So then we could say, why does it say lo yigol? So we said b'chur is kodesh, and so is cherem. B'chur is lo yigol, and so is cherem. So lo yigoyal dekasa rachman olamali. Why does it say lo yigoyal by chayim? Must be lachni. Again, it must be to be mufne in order to be used for our zera shava. The problem with that still is ikal mitrach. Still, we can slug that up because a bechor does have something special over chayim. Mal bechor shekain kedusha temerachem. A bechor is unique. It has kedusha right from when it's born. Every other chayim is only when you declare it chayim. Every other kodesh is the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So that doesn't work. Okay, let's try another
question. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Ella, let's try like this. Lo yoyim lo yigoyal b'meiser. Let's say, forget about fine. It had to say lo yigoyal by cherem, we're saying. But you have two sides of a gzeira shava. So the other end of a gzeira shava is the word lo yigoyal by meiser. So let's try that one. Let's see if we can show that one to be mufne. okay, the Mefarshim should point out, I mean, the Gemara could then ask, well, what about according to the opinion that if it's only Mufni Mitzadecha, the Maidin and Meshibin, but okay, the Gemara is not taking up that point. If it's Mufni Mitzadecha, if you say that the words that you're using for the Gzeira Shava are available only at one end of the Gzeira Shava, such as by Maisis, but they're needed by the other end, such as by Cherem, then the Maidin and Meshibin, you can learn such a Gzeira Shava, but you can also shlug it up. So in that case, why wouldn't you shlug it up?
Why would you shlug it up?
Same, because we're saying, like over here, we would say you can't learn from Chayrim to Meister because Meister has something special about it, and yeah. Okay. So, let's try and say, though, that we're going to say that what's Mufna is the Lo Yigoil that it says not by Chayrim, because we said, we went through the possibilities, we said there's no way to make that Mufna, fine, but let's say the one that's by Meister is Mufna. Namely, we could argue like this. The Yigmar ha'avor lo yom lo yigoil b'maiser. It shouldn't have had to say the word lo yigoil b'maiser behema. The Yigmar ha'avora mebuchar. And then instead, how would we know that this din applies there? That you can't sell it. We would learn by exeter shava from bechor from the word ha'avora. V'havarta kopeter rechem l'Hashem and kol asher yaver tachal shava. Ma bechor kodesh rein enigol af maiser kodesh rein enigol. So therefore, just like a bechor, you're not allowed to redeem. So also Meister. So therefore, lo yigoil the kasa rachmana of a Meister lomeli. So why does the Torah have to spell out by Meister lo yigoil? It must be lasnir. It must be to be mufna. And therefore, we have one end of our gzera shava, and the other end of our gzera shava is by cherem, where it says lo yimacher lo yigoil. And therefore, we understand that lo yigoil means you can't sell it at any point, whether it's alive or dead or whatever. The problem with that is v'akati b'maiser nami lo mifni. On the other hand, we can argue that still, even by maiser, the words lo yigoil are not mufne. You still need them for the meaning of the pasuk. The ikal mifrach kidiv hachinan, because you could still shlug it up like we argued before. We still said that b'chor has kedusha meirechem and maiser has and maiser is mekadosh lefon of alachrav. So how can you learn maiser from b'chor? And the answer is, that's not a problem because v'havarta k'roi yisayrov. Because the word v'havarta, which you have by b'chor, that itself is extra. That for sure is mufna. So therefore, that...
Why?
Because you don't need it. So whether it says v'havarta kol peter rechem l'Hashem, it didn't have to say that. It could have just said kol peter rechem l'Hashem or kol peter rechem li. It didn't have to say the word v'havarta that you should pass over.
Yeah.
Therefore, the word v'havarta is definitely available for gzeira shava. And once you have that, then that's it. Then you know, therefore, that you're learning Meister from that you're learning Meister from Bechor. Therefore, you know you're learning Meister from Bechor. And therefore,
through that
Gzeira Shava. And therefore, so now we can say, therefore, that now we're able. So now we're saying that we could have used only that. We didn't, in addition, need the word Lo Yigoil by Meister to learn from Bechor. And therefore, we have it available to teach us about to learn from Cheren. That just like over there, Lo Yimacher and Lo Yigoil go together. So also by Meister. Okay. The problem with that is b'chor nami nelef geula geula mecharomim. The problem with that is if you're going to say like that, then you have there's a gzeira shava that you could have learned directly from b'chor by b'chor from cherem, where by b'chor it doesn't say the word lo yigoil, but it says lo yisifke. And b'pashtus we would assume that being poda and being goyel are more or less synonyms. For example, in Ma'ariv. So therefore, we could have just as well learned Gzeira Shava from Cherem.
Because we would use what?
Because we would use Lo Sifta and Lo Yigoil.
That's a similar meaning.
They have a similar meaning, exactly. So we could learn directly from Cherem. The answer is, and then therefore we don't need to use Meister. The answer is the Meister Masni de Bechor Lo Masni. The answer is that. The word that we have by Meister when it says Lo Yigoil is Masni is not necessary by Meister itself. On the other hand, when it says Lo Yisifke by Bechor, Lo Masni it's not available, and therefore we can't learn a Gzeira Shava between Bechor and Cherem to learn from Lo Yisifke and then Lo Yigoil because by Bechor we need it for a different purpose. So the question is, by Bechor, we need it to teach us the actual din by Bechor itself, that you can't sell it, whether you can't sell it, that you're allowed to shecht it, that you're allowed to sell it but you're not allowed to be poded. You can't you can't be poded as in to exchange money for it and take the kedusha off it. You're not able to do that. You have to give it to the kohen. But on the other hand, that you're allowed to sell it. So you need the word loisifka to teach us that actual din. Therefore, it's not available for Gzeira Shavah. On the other hand, by Meister, no, you wouldn't know it. Therefore, that's what the Gemara is going to say. On the other hand, by Meister, we would know it a different way, and based on the Gzeira Shavah from Bechor, and therefore we have it available to use for Gzeira Shavah with Chayim. The question is, my chazis to loisifka le Bechor le Gufa or de Meister laknuye? Who says that's what it means? Who says that the loisifka by Bechor teaches us a din about Bechor itself? And the one by Meister is meant to teach us the Gzeira Shavah, to teach us the meaning of Lo Yigoel. The Eimer de Meister, the Gufay, the Bechor Lachnuy, maybe the other way around. Maybe the one by Meister is meant to teach us the din about Meister itself, that Lo Yigoel. So we would say, in other words, Lo Yimacher wouldn't apply. No Gzeira Shavah between it and Chayim. On the other hand, the one by Bechor, we would say, is available for Gzeira Shavah. And therefore, we would learn Bechor directly from Chayim. So we would say the other way around, that Bechor you can't sell at all, whether it's alive or shechted, and whether it's a tam or a balmum. And Meister, we would say that you're not allowed to sell it. Well, you're not allowed to be poder, but you could sell it to somebody else while it's alive or after it's shechted. Or whatever. How do we know that now? The answer is done in geula migeula, that ain't done in pedia migeula. Because now we're going to get into the fact of the matter is we are using two separate words over here. You have lois dipte and you have lois yigoel. They're two different shoshim. So therefore, you can't make a Gzeira Shavah between them. Automatically, therefore, since we have nothing else to use the Lois Sifta of Bechor for Gzeira Shavah, then automatically we know it must be used for the Bechor itself, to teach us a din about the Bechor.
Initially, we thought
that maybe we could be Goyal and Poder, we could use a Gzeira Shavah. So the question is, the Gemara asks, as it does in many other places, you can see on the side over here a list of about a dozen places in Shas where the Gemara mentions this at this point, my Nakamina, who cares? So they're not the same word, as long as they're synonyms, isn't that good enough for Gzeira Shavah? Ha-tonet ve-rabi shmol, v'shavakoyin uva-koyin zuri shiva zuri bia. We have tonet ve-rabi shmol, tells us as far as the genium of tzara'as and houses, that when you have one posse that says the koyin will return, and you have another posse that says that the koyin will come, where one of them is talking about after the first week, where the house has been locked up, and the one other one is talking about after the second week,
and yet
we make a Gzeira Shavah between them, zuri shiva zuri bia, which we learn from that there are some cases where we don't, even though the posuk seems to imply that the posuk makes it sound as though the maximum you have is 2 weeks, and then if at the end of the 2 weeks the saraf is still there, you tear down the house, but we learn from the Gzeira Shavah that it's not like that, but there are cases where you again lock it up for a third week and see what happens at the end of the third week, and only then if the saraf is returned do you tear down the house. So the point is we're making we learned from the Shavakoyin of Arkoyin. So it's mentioned in many places in Shas. So the point is, we make Gzeira Shavah from two words that are synonyms, even though they're not the same word.
So the same thing.
So why shouldn't we make Gzeira Shavah between Loi Sifta and Loi Yigoel? The answer is, Hani Mili Hecha Delecta De Dumbele. As the Gemara answers, in all these places, we only make such Gzeira Shavah where there's no other similar word available. Over here, in the case of Taras and houses, the fact is, one pasuk says Vashav, the other one says Uva, so we have no choice. We have to make Gzeira Shavah between those two words, because that's all that's available. Aval Ika De Dumbele, but when you have in one place available a word which is exactly the same word, or the same Shodesh, whatever, and you have a different one that is not, Mid the dummy lay off in, and we're going to learn a Gzeira Shavah from the one that's the same Shoresh. So if we have one end of our Gzeira Shavah is going to be from Chayim, and where it says Lo Yigoel, and the other end is going to be either by Meister where it also says Lo Yigoel, or by Bechor where it says Lo Yisifke. Yeah? We're going to take the Lo Yigoel, which is the same word, and not use the one from Bechor, and say that the one from Bechor is teaching us the Gufa, it's teaching us the din about the Bechor itself, that you can't be poded, but you could sell it.
Because nothing else
available. Right. Okay. The problem still is, So where are we so far? So far what we've said is that we've established what we set out to prove, that when it comes to Bechor, because it says loisifta and you don't have a Gzeira Shavah between it and Chayim, therefore you're allowed to sell it, you're just not allowed, you just can't be poder to take off the kedusha from it. As opposed to by Meister, since you have Lo Yigoel and you have Lo Yimacher, it says by Chayim, so we're applying the same rule by Chayim as we're applying the same rule to Meister as applies to Chayim, that you can't sell it at all. You have to give it to Hektish, or to the Kohen, as the case may be, and only then can we talk about selling it or whatever. And we showed how we're learning it from Gzeira Shavah. So we do have a Gzeira Shavah. We do have a Gzeira Shavah between Bechor and Meister, but we're using that to say that therefore we didn't have to say Lo Yigor Ba Meister, and therefore that we have it Mufna, and therefore that we're able to make the Gzeira Shavah work.
So what's the problem?
The problem now is V'leilach Bechor Ha'avara Ha'avara Mi Meister. The problem is still we said that we have the Gzeira Shavah on the word Ha'avara from Meister. We already established just now that Meister you can't sell on the basis of the Gzeira Shavah from Chayim. Why shouldn't we say now in turn we're going to apply that to Bechor because we have a Gzeira Shavah between Meister and Bechor on the word Ha'avara?
That's as far as
dinim of kodshim, as far as bringing kodshim, as far as offering kodshim on the mizbeach. That has nothing to do with kodshim when we're talking about over here buying them or selling them or whatever when they have a mum. So why don't we do that? Gam meister nami gama geula geula mecharamim. Because what did we say? We learned meister that you're not allowed to sell it on the basis of the gzeira shavah lo yigoil from cherem. So now we should turn around and say because you have v'havarta and kosher yaver tachas hashavah, the same shurish. So therefore you have a gzeira shavah between bechor and meister, and that would mean whatever applies to meister applies to bechor, and therefore the bechor you can't sell either. The answer is miyet rachmana gabe charamim hu. Yes, but by Cherem, the Pasuk has the expression, Ko Cherem Kodesh Kodashim Hu Lashem. The Hu is a mute. Hu V'loi Bechor. So it means it's a suing only by Cherem, but not by Bechor.
It's an expression.
Yeah, because it could have said, Ko Cherem Kodesh Kodashim Lashem, the next day.
Who is a mute?
Yeah, it's a mute. The problem is, Emer Hu V'loi Meister. Okay, maybe we're my Meister. Can't. Meister Geula K'moisai. The answer is, we can't do that. Because given that by Meister, it says the same expression, it says exactly the same expression, Geula, then therefore we're going to assume that if we have a mute from the word Hu, it's not going to take away the Gzeira Shavah between Cherem and Meister, because otherwise we didn't need that Gzeira Shavah at all. We can assume that the Hu is telling us don't try to apply based on another Gzeira Shavah from Bechor to Meister, and say from Meister to Bechor, rather, and therefore say the same thing will apply by Bechor, that we're going to exclude by the word Hu. We're not going to say that who is going to undo the Gzeira Shavah from Lo Yigoil. We're going to say that who is going to undo, don't think to apply a different Gzeira Shavah on top of that one of Lo Yigoil, namely the Gzeira Shavah of Havara.
Why wouldn't think that it could undo it's a mute.
That's the point. If we have a mute, so it has to be Mamayat something. More logically, it's going to be Mamayat something that we're trying to learn from a different Gzeira Shavah rather than something that we learned from the very same Gzeira Shavah that we just made between Cherem and Meister. So then if we're going to be Meister anyway, then you don't need that Gzeira Shavah in the first place. Yeah. Okay. So far, so good. So far, we've established why it is that this din applies only to Meister and not Bechor. Rava has a different way of looking at the whole thing. Lo yigoil b'charomim lo yisarech. Now before we argued, we were saying that it doesn't need to say lo yigoil b'charim, and we said we can't make that work. We have to have lo yigoil b'charim of necessity. Rava is going back on that and saying, no, actually we don't need the word lo yigoil b'charim, because you have to consider the isnu hecha. Because Rava says, let's consider this charim. Where is it right now where we're saying that there's an isnu of lo yigoil? If you're talking about that it's still in the owner's house, so he declared it cheren, but he hasn't yet given it to whoever it's supposed to go to. Well, hektish nenu. Well, then it's still hektish, so it's not. Of course you can't redeem it. It's still there's no being paid there. It still belongs to hektish until it's given to hektish. E bei koyin, or rather to the koyin. And e bei koyin, and if you already gave it to the koyin, chulin nenu. Then once you give it to the koyin, any kedusha goes away from it, and now becomes chulin. The Tanya, as we learn in a Brayt, the Charomim called Manshein Bebeit Bailim Harein Kehektish for Chol Dibrayim. Cherem, as long Cherem Koyinim, that is, as long as they're in the owner's house, they're considered again Cherem Koyinim, meaning that you say that this is going to be Cherem LaKoyinim, where you have to give it to a Koyin, as opposed to Cherem LaShem, the Cherem LaGavoya, which is basically a form of Hektish. But over here, when you have Cherem for Koyinim, and the Brayt says called Manshein Bebeit Bailim, as long as this Cherem is in the original owner's house. They're fully like hektish in the sense you can't be coded and you can't nothing. They have to be given. On the other hand, once you give them to the koyin, then they become right away kolin. Because it says the pasuk that any cheirim among the Jewish people goes to you. So therefore, it's a koyin. So So they, and it's yours, you know, your hoye. In other words, it's like any moment of yours. Yeah. Actually, it's similar to the Bechor. We're saying that the Bechor you have to give to the Kohen, but once the Kohen has it, he's able to turn around and sell it. Well, I mean, there's still rules of what he can do with it, but here we're saying, Cherem Kohen, and you don't even have that, right? Right. Yeah. So therefore, so Rava says, yes, well, no, it's not the only thing. Zoril Chayim Bekeva is another example. Yeah, one wants to reach it, yeah.
And you can resell it?
He can resell it. He can do whatever he wants with it, yeah. Okay. So Rava says, given that, as long as you have it, obviously you can't redeem it anyway, because the Pasuk anyway says, Kodesh Kodoshim Hu Lashem. And once you give it to the Kohen, there's no necessity to redeem it, because it belongs to the Kohen and it's full in.
Right.
So therefore, you don't even need the word, Lo Yigoel by Cherem. Lo Yigoel to Kasser Rachman Olam Ali. Therefore, Rava says, what is the word, Lo Yigoel by Cherem? Therefore, we can say, in Eine Inyan Macharamim, given that you don't need it for Cherem, because, but as Rava says, therefore, Tneu Inyan LaMeister, therefore, we can apply it to Meister. So Rava says, never mind the Gzeira Shava. We can argue that maybe a Gzeira Shava we can't do because only Mukna from one side, etc. But we can still say that we have a word over here by Cherem that we don't need at all, and therefore, we can apply it instead to Meister.
You need it until the coin is
free. Right, no, then you don't need it, because the Pasuk says, Toch Cherem Kodesh Kadoshim Ul Hashem, which automatically means you can't sell it, just like you can't sell any Kodesh Kadoshim. So therefore, Tneu Inyan LaMeister. The problem is, aim a Tneu Inyan LaBechor, but say maybe that it means that you should apply, instead of Meister, apply it to Bechor. And again, the answer is Meister Geula Kamoiser. The fact of the matter is, it does say the word Loyu Goel by Meister, as it does by Cherem. Fine, even if we're not going to make a Gzeira Shava on it, it's still more logical that we're going to take a word that it says Loyu Goel by Cherem and apply it to something else where you have the same word, namely Meister, rather than Bechor, where you have Loyu Sifter, which is a different Shurish. Rashi over here mentions that the gears that we have in front of us, which is that Rava is saying you didn't have to say Loyi Goel by Cherem, and therefore we have it available. Rashi says he doesn't like that Girsa, and he prefers the Girsa, because he has a number of problems with it, because first of all, what do you mean? You can't be Goel Hektish? You have something of Hektish, but you're sure you can be Goel it. What do you mean? So therefore, for that and a couple of other reasons. Okay, but still, why? Okay, so we're saying because it's a Kodesh Kodashim, but still, what's the logic? Why shouldn't we assume it's like any other Hektish and you could still redeem it just like any other Hektish? So, okay, for that and a few other reasons, Rashi prefers a Girsa rather than what Rava is saying is not that it didn't have to say Lo Yigoel by Cherem, but that it didn't have to say Lo Yimocher. It didn't have to say you can't sell it, because obviously you can't sell the Cherem before you give it to the Kohen. And then therefore, if we have the word Lo Yimocher available, then we're applying it to Meiser. And we're saying, why not Bechor? Because by Meiser, it does say Lo Yigoel. Given, according to Rashi's preferred Girsa, it does have to say Lo Yigoel by Cherem, as we said before. On the other hand, you have these words Lo Yimocher, which it doesn't need to say, because it's obvious that you can't sell it before you give it to the Kohen. Then therefore, we can apply those to the Meiser. And say therefore, the Lo Yimocher to the Meister, and say therefore that means not only Lo Yigoel, not only that you can't be paid to the Meister, that you can't take off the Kedusha from it on money, but also that you can't sell it b'chlal.
So you both
put
it, don't you?
No, so you need Lo Yigoel. Well, so we're saying, in other words, right, but by Meister it doesn't say Lo Yimocher.
Yes.
So we're taking the Lo Yimocher of Cherem and applying it to Meister. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Rav Ashi Yomar. Rav Ashi has yet another way of explaining it. Lo Yigoel de Meister, Lo Yimocher. Actually, you don't even need all that. When it says Lo Yigoel by Meister, we have to understand that automatically that means you're not allowed to sell it. So, because Minamina law, Omer Rav Ashi Minamina law, so Rav Ashi says, where do I get that from? Just is, because, again, let's look at the passage that it says by Meister. We quoted it before. We said, if and if Tmura will be Kodesh, they cannot be redeemed. Now, that means, in other words, we have a hekesh in effect between tmura and redeeming it. Amasai oita tmura, when are you able to make a tmura from an animal or kachim? Only mechayim, only when it's alive. Amasai einin nigal, when are you not able to redeem it? Only when it's alive. Ho acha shchita nigal, implying that after it's shechted, you could redeem it. So therefore, so that's where we know that, that's how we know that while it's alive, it's also to sell. And furthermore, let's consider, one second. Well, the connection is like this. When it's alive, we know from the Tekish with Tmura that you can't sell it. But then Rav Ashi continues. Now, so the implication is Hola Achla Shittin Nigel. So what is the implication? Are you saying that after it's shechted, you would be able to sell it? The problem with that is Haboy Hamad of Haracha. Well, don't we know that when you're buying something back from Hekish, you need to, an animal, you need to stand it up in front of the Kohen and he has to evaluate it. And he was shechted and you can't do that. Therefore, obviously, therefore, automatically, we must be able to understand that loyigol must mean you can't sell it at all. You can't sell it while it's alive, because then that's the time when the Torah is explicitly telling you it's also, because then it's like smora. You can't be poded after it's dead, because you can't do hamad of aracha. So automatically, therefore, we know that the loyigol itself means loyimacha. The problem with that is, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, this would only work according to the opinion that not only kodshim zedek habayis, but also kodshim mizbeach need hamad of haracha. You can't be poded them after they're shechted. But el olamando am a kodshim mizbeach loy hoy b'chol hamad of haracha. But according to the opinion that only kodshim zedek habayis require that, kodshim mizbeach, once they develop a mum and you're going to be poded them, they, according to that opinion, you could be poded them even after they're shechted. So according to that, they don't develop a mum. You bring them to the carbon.
And you
can't be poded them. You can't be poded them while they're tremendous anyway. So then, if you're going to say that kodshim is veach, once they develop a mum, you're able to shech them and only then buy them back from Hekdish, that they don't require hamad of aracha, then how is Rav Ashi's limud going to work? Then we would say, fine, you can't sell it while it's alive, but why can't you sell it after it's dead, the same way as you could be poded after it's dead? The answer is, anan hokat haminim. The answer is, Rav Ashi would say, yeah, but what I mean is like this. Where do you ever have a case where you have an animal that you're not allowed to be poded while it's alive, and only after it's shechted you're able to be poded? That's backwards. Usually, if you're able to be poded after it's shechted, surely you should be able to be poded while it's alive, where you can do hamad of haracha. If here you're going to tell,
cannot be poded alive.
So that's what it means. Not that we, even according to the opinion that you don't require hamad of haracha, we would say fine. But if the pasuk is telling us you can't redeem it while it's alive, then automatically that means you can't redeem it after it's shechted either, because it's not logical to say that you could only first do it then.
Therefore,
so that would show that it means that you can't redeem it while it's alive or dead, as we said before. That lo you go, lo you macher. Okay. The question is, the Gemara says, alam aloy. Well, why not? Why can't we answer? Mechayim da'alimak yushase. You could argue while the animal is alive, it has a strong kedusha. Therefore, lo mifrik. Therefore, you're not able to hurt it. La'acha shita, but after it's shechted, da'achi leik yushase, where now the kedusha has gone, down, maybe mifrik. Then maybe now you could be poured there. So maybe it is logical to say, but you could argue the other way around. We thought that where do you ever find a case where you can be poured there, where you can't be poured there when it's alive, but you could after it's shechted. Maybe you can be poured there after it's shechted, because now its kedusha is weaker. However, the Gemara says, well, like called a kenu. What do you mean? Still, you should be able to make a kavah klamer. Uma mechayim, madach, when the animal is alive, the alim lemitzvah b'yonai, where its kedusha is strong and it's able to be tofes its pidyon, the kedusha of it is able to transfer to the coins, it's able to grab the coins and give them kedusha, and yet lo mifrik, and yet you're not allowed to be poydeh then on the basis of the pasuk, which we said, because we're making a hekesh with tmura. After it's shechted, where it's not even strong enough to be tofus, the kedusha is not even strong enough to be tofus the pidyon nifrit. Would you say that you could redeem it at that point? The very fact that the kedusha is stronger while it's alive, that makes it possible for the pidyon to take effect. How does pidyon take effect? You have to have a strong kedusha there to be able to transfer. Therefore, you can't. Therefore, obviously, by elimination, lo yigoel must mean you can't sell it.
Either before or after.
Okay, fine. The last question then is, v'lichti rechmona lo yimacher. Okay, then why does the Torah say lo yigoel? Why not just say straight out lo yimacher? The answer is, ikos rechmona lo yimacher, if it said it with that expression, have amini. You would think, is the buni who the one is davin? Fine, you're not allowed to sell it normally. Because then you're treating it casually, you're treating it like something mundane, like something not of kodesh, if you sell it. But to redeem it and take the kedusha off it and transfer it to the money. Maybe that you could do.
If you said,
"Look, maybe selling them, but poyde yet." Daha ayli jomav lahekdish, because after all, then the value of it goes to hekdish. Bahachi kosevach. Want to let you go? The loy is the buni mizdabin, but let ifruki mitzvah. Therefore, the prophet says, well, you go, implying you're not even allowed to be poyde. If you're not allowed to be poyde, surely you're not allowed to sell it regularly. So again, if we didn't
if you
could argue that if you could do, if you can't sell it, you could still be poyde. But if it's telling you can't even be poyde, then for sure you can't just sell it as a mundane transaction.
No, because
if you can't sell it even when the money goes to hekdesh, you certainly can't sell it to a private individual where the money just goes to holding it.
Yeah.